Ripple Effect. This is the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. A nonprofit organization established in 2007 to provide powerful leadership training to the youth of our communities. And now, here's your host, by board member, co-owner of Rapport International, and certified trainer, Brett Johnston.
And I am Mesa Whitaker.
I am Preston Gladwell, and I have the pleasure of introducing Jaden O'Pikins.
Good to be here with you guys.
Thanks for coming.
Excited.
Yeah.
So you start us off wherever you'd like. Tell us about young Jaden.
Well, I grew up here in North Ogden, Utah. My family is all from around here. Parents grew up around the area, right? Went to North Ogden Junior High, Weber High School.
Your whole family?
Pretty much everybody on my dad's side. My mom's from Bonneville. Grew up in construction, right? Ever since I was a little kid.
We are biased, but that's the best place to grow up.
It is.
I think so, right?
Absolutely.
Love tractors, love shoveling dirt, love being out in the yard with my dad. And that carried me through just kind of always working in it. First job, I worked for my grandpa in like elementary and junior high on a farm up there in North Ogden. But that carried into high school and jumping right into construction as a laborer. I can't bluff about my experience because Preston was right there with me.
Yep.
So what kind of things were you guys farming?
We just had some horses and we'd grow hay for the horses, right? So it was moving water and cleaning stalls, and
so
then selling hay.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I am the oldest of four.
Awesome.
I've got three younger siblings, a sister below me, a brother that comes next, and then a littlest sister that just graduated high school.
Awesome. So you all probably had a fair share in the farming life there, right?
I think they saw me sweat through it and ran the other direction. So
I'm awesome.
Kind of the only one that was growing up on the farm per se.
Love it.
Yeah. Being the oldest sibling, you probably have the most pressure from the family to man that takes charge. And
I was the test rat for sure for my parents, my siblings, kind of everybody. But yeah, grew up with work as a extreme value in our house. I honestly, as young as I can remember being, my dad would put me to work, and it's something that I would forever thank him for.
Do you think you got that value from your dad?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. He is the hardest worker I know.
Awesome.
So. You drive past the R&O office at 6:37. He's still there.
Love
His truck is always there,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. He's a grinder for sure.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So what was growing up like for you outside of farming? What was your friends like?
I'd say the pretty typical Ogden, Utah, playing lots of sports, grew up in a neighborhood full of kids.
Awesome.
Playing kick the can at night and football. My parents were great at putting me in just about anything they could, from soccer to football to lacrosse. Riding horses and skiing. Again, can't bluff about experience. Preston and I grew up skiing together.
Oh, yeah.
That is awesome.
So honestly, just doing everything, living the life. I had a great childhood, great parents. Really couldn't ask for more.
Awesome. So with your friends, was it mostly sport related that you had friends, and or was it neighborhoods? What did that look like?
I grew up in a great neighborhood. I lucked out. My best friends were like on all three sides of my house.
Awesome.
So we'd walk out the front door and had from the age of three, my very best friends, where I'd not even knock on their door, walk in the house, say hi to my second mom and eat breakfast or lunch with them in the summertime. And we would just get on our bikes and ride up the mountain and just play or do whatever we wanted. Right.
We now call that free childcare, when you can just send your kids right out the door. Right. And they take care of themselves.
Scary world now. It's turning your kids loose, but that's what we used to do. Wow. Is just kind of run rampant.
I think both of us had that as well. And we seemed to be doing all right. So, hey, we have a room full of people that worked.
Yeah,
sure.
So middle school, I mean, how was school for you? Did it come easy?
It was, I was a pretty social kid. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of a class clown. And yeah, I played football and, middle school. I was probably turning a little girl crazy and loved getting out and going to dances and parties and talking to everybody. School was fun. I remember that was like a time where social pressure becomes a big thing, struggled with managing all of the different friends and, social media was just kind of getting big, and everybody kind of learning how to jump headfirst into that scene and everybody getting cell phones. I remember that being, interesting to navigate. But for the most part, did pretty good. I remember there was a period where I struggled a little bit socially and had some anxiety that I think is much more common today and kids learn to deal with, but had a really, really good group of friends that kind of carried me through junior high into high school and kept me out of serious trouble for the most part.
Yeah. What did some of those anxieties look like, if you don't mind me asking?
I remember when it was probably earlier, even like late elementary school, I recall dealing with a lot of anxiety and not even understanding what it was. Just always worrying about what I was doing or saying or messing up with. I don't even know how to verbalize it. It was just being a kid that should be carefree, but constantly worrying about something.
What's next? What you're doing? Yeah.
Or, you know, if I go to this class and I say the wrong thing to a person, what are they going to think about me? And I remember my mom took me to counseling as a little kid. I had to be like fifth grade, right? And I never knew what it was. I just went and talked to a lady in a room and she would help me vent about it and never told me anything other than, you know, this is normal and we're going to cope with it. And it wasn't until I was getting ready to go on a mission and I was gathering all my medical documents that I found a paper where at that age they had diagnosed me with like chronic anxiety.
Really? Oh, really?
And it was just a letter to a teacher saying, we recommend Jaden be placed in a class where somebody can help him with that. But I don't ever remember anybody ever explicitly saying that to me. And not that there's a right way to go about that, but for me, it helped.
Yeah. Do you think it's a good thing they didn't put a label on that?
Yeah, I do.
Cause I never really thought about anxiety until the later years when I started my business. Not later years, I'm 27.
Later years for you though.
But same thing, my mom never said she had anxiety and she did. Like now I can tell, back then I couldn't. And now I know I have some sort of anxiety, just money, whatever, kids, family, balance and all that.
For sure.
But yeah, and I never knew what it was. And I think that's what drove me. Do you think that's what drives you a little bit in life right now?
100%, right? Like you look at some of the top performers, at least that I'm surrounded with, and whether they want to admit it or not, it's like anxiety is like fuel in the tank.
Oh, yeah.
Like they wake up and they got to go.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it can absolutely be a strength. Yeah,
and,
sure.
And I look back at that and 100%, I think if somebody would have labeled it and told me
as a negative thing,
as a little kid, especially, and I'm sure there's a different way to go about that. But for me, not being labeled and not being told that I have like an issue, it just was something that kind of, I learned to cope with and work out naturally.
Yeah.
So I would say, getting through junior high and stuff, I learned to cope with those things. And lucky for me, it's something that it's comes naturally now. But I know that sets in different times, in different ways, in different durations for a lot of people. So
that speaks volumes of your mom to be able to identify that and say, you know, I know this, I could see the signs and I want to get him help, but I also don't think that this is something that's going to set him back. And, you know, she was decades ahead of where we're at now to be able to identify that. And that has to be scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as a mom.
Yeah. Kudos to her. Cause now, being a parent myself, I realize we don't know what the heck we're doing most of the time. No. It's absolutely just flying by the seat of your pants, hoping you get it right. And she did a really, really good job. So,
yeah. So high school, what did that look like for you?
High school was a blast. I had a lot of fun in high school, played sports, lacrosse and football, was in pretty involved in student government and pretty much everything social I could do, right? Friday and Saturday, it was go find fun parties and have a good time with the guys. And in the summer, we would work hard. And I worked in construction and on the farm and washed windows and mowed lawns and aerated and did just about anything I could to earn money. And then pretty much during the school year, just tried to have fun and go on dates and be social and be productive, right? My parents were pretty strict on grades and holding me accountable and enforcing a curfew and good parents, but let me breathe enough to have a lot of fun.
So, I love it. One, that's a lot of work. All of those things you just listed are not easy tasks.
Right. Yeah. If anything, made sure I stayed very, very busy to keep me out of as much trouble as they could.
Yeah, smart.
Remind me, weren't you an SBO officer?
Yeah, yep. I did student government sophomore, junior year, and then senior year did SBO. And
what made you want to do that?
I don't know. I think I liked being involved. The group of people that you seem to surround yourself with was, high performers and people that were driven and got to have a say, right? I can be critical of myself and others, and being able to jump in and have a voice as to what we're doing as a school. And it sounded nice and seemed to be fun. Kept me out of trouble. I always saw it as an opportunity to earn a scholarship and kind of stand out. And
oh yeah.
Yeah. More than anything, it was a good time.
Oh, heck yeah.
Well, it's interesting. The things that you're involved in, you say, you've always been busy, but you can see that maybe that was the anxiety. I want to stay busy. I need to be doing these things. And in little ways that benefited you a lot. You were involved in a lot of different things that sounds like helped with school and helped with your development that way as well.
Mm-hmm. I think I definitely recognized at a young age that sitting idle doesn't help anything, right? You, as long as you're constantly moving, constantly doing something, whether it's productive or relaxing, right? It helps keep your mind occupied and productive. So
what'd you end up doing after high school?
Right after high school, I went on a mission. So when I was 17, my senior year, I turned in my papers. And I had a pretty serious girlfriend at the time, and obviously school to look forward to, and work, a career to start. And my parents were very supportive of a mission. My family overall, there's some of us that grew up in the church, some of us that didn't. And I remember at the time I was kind of going back and forth with some people on whether or not I should go. Ultimately I made the decision to go. And it was not the best 2 years of my life, but the best 2 years for my life. It was an amazing experience. I went to Medellin, Colombia.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So if you've ever watched like Narcos on Netflix, that's Medellin, Pablo Escobar. It was incredible. Not like that anymore, but scared the crap out of my parents. Got to learn Spanish, got to have a lot of really cool experiences. And, that pretty girl I was dating hung out for a couple of years and kept living her life, but it worked out and we got married when I got home. And
oh, wow. Awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience and brought us really close together. And when I got home from my mission, I jumped right into work. I work for the family business, right? R&O construction. And when I got back, I thought I'd walk right into a job that I had before. Mm-hmm. And my dad sat me down and told me he would not hire me. So I got to go in and interview with one of the vice presidents over there, Rick Zampedri. So he brought me in and gave me the whole interview and acted like we never knew each other almost, and started me working in Logan the next week. So like a week off my mission, I jumped back into being a laborer, and
Didn't you get push shovels that whole winter? I think I remember. Yeah.
Yep. It was like a record winter in 2016, and I got a square mouth shovel and got to shovel the roof of a building off for a while and scrape ice and jump right back into what we were doing when we were kids on job sites.
Yeah, I remember that one up in Wolf Creek when we were Oh my hell, that
we got like
horrible.
A 4x4 post and got to go knock some ice off. And
so fun.
But yeah, it was a good reintroduction into welcome back. You need to earn your spot and
the way to do it.
Yeah.
So when you were in high school and growing up, right, you're on the farm, you're working construction in the summers. Did you know that was something you wanted to go into, or how did that transition happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. I had a really good memory. It was kind of that same time I was dealing with some of that anxiety as like a fifth grader. Mm-hmm. And I remember my dad grabbed me one day, I think it was in summer, and took me out to job sites. He was doing a bunch of visits. And I have a vivid memory of like riding around in a Polaris Ranger on some big multifamily project and thinking it was the coolest thing, that's like people get paid to come ride around and like look at construction going vertical and buildings being built. And we went from job site to job site. And we were driving home, and I remember telling my dad, like, this is just what I want to do. I want to work for you and grandpa. And, that's who started the company, was my grandfather. And, ever since that day, I like hung our, what was it? The good guy posters that Arno used to have. That was like the safety rules. Uh-huh. I had those hanging up in my room and my own hard hat, and thought it was the coolest thing ever.
So, I bet your dad is ecstatic about that, just to see you embrace, you know, what your family's been doing. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's mixed emotions, right? Because as you guys know, construction's tough. It's not the easiest career you could pick. There's a lot of stress, a lot of long hours, but it's also very rewarding. So I think that introduction back into labor and being, I'm going to use air quotes here, the bottom of the totem pole, to make sure it was something I really wanted to do, and I would be happy doing, was what he made sure happened.
And it probably kept you humble.
Oh, yeah. My dad has done a very good job of that.
Yeah.
I love it. Mm-hmm. So you come home, you're working, you're back to being a laborer. What's life look like for you now? You're getting accustomed that way.
So I got engaged pretty quick. I was one of those weird return missionaries that hurry up and got engaged.
We're still together, so it's fine.
Yes.
I love it.
I think that was a month after my mission. I started right up with school. I came home like a week early so that I could start the semester.
Yeah.
So I would work, drive to Logan at like 5 a.m, get back to Ogden at like 5 p.m, drive down to Layton to go to school at Weber State, get home at like 9 and repeat that for 3 or 4 years. I think it was 4.
That is a grind.
So
what did you study?
Construction management. So yeah, I did 4 years at Weber State in construction management, and did that all while we were working full time. And it was a blessing for sure, because it gave me the opportunity to network with a whole ton of people and really gain real life experience in the field that you guys know is more important.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and to do that, I mean, that speaks a lot about Weber State's program as well, as they allow their students to do that. They have the night program where you go and burn the candle at both ends, right? You go and work and do labor on your body, and you go back to do school after. That's a lot to ask of one person. So that's a big win. So yeah. So you go to school, you get married. Let's hear about your wife. I want to hear how you guys met, kind of how that transition happened as well.
So my wife, we actually always knew each other growing up. Our sisters were best friends. Our grandmas were best friends. My aunt and her mom were good friends in high school. And I always knew who she was, but I never pursued it, right? Mm-hmm. That'd be a weird conflict of interest with multiple parties. And it was later in high school where we just ended up kind of crossing paths and kind of hanging out as friends, and one thing led to another, and we both just decided, you know, let's give it a go. And it worked out, and she is, that's where I'll get emotional, incredible. And really who grounds me. We've got two beautiful, I'm a crier, so
I get that from
my dad too. She's a hard worker. She's has incredible values, and keeps me grounded, keeps my kids in check, keeps me in check, and does everything she can to make sure we have the best life. So I'll leave it there. I'll just cry the whole rest of the episode.
We love it. No, what's awesome. Her name?
Megan.
Megan.
Yeah, Megan Healy. She grew up in Pleasant View and went to Weber High with me, and she was the captain of the cheerleading squad, and I played left bench on the football team. So
I love it.
Almost a Cinderella story.
And he married up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah.
So you're married, you're working. What got you a seat in the class?
I asked that question again. Seat in the class, like at work?
At Rapport.
Rapport.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Who sent you down there?
I was nominated by Will Haymond. And I'm thinking my dad had something to do with that, but Will's kind of sponsored me. Over the years, I started working for Will and kind of bounced around and moved my way up. And it was right when I was finishing college. And I remember he came into our job trailer. We were out working at Northrop Grumman doing kind of a hellish job, really fast paced.
Mm-hmm. Is that one at the North Gate?
It is. Yeah. You were there quite a bit. And I remember him just asking, I think we were talking to somebody else about Rapport. And he looked at me and he was like, you know. I was like, I don't. And he was like, you've never been. And I hadn't. And COVID was kicking up. And he's like, well, I'm going to call Brett and we're going to make it happen. So it was the first, I remember we didn't know what it was going to look like, right? Because the world shut down there in 2020. And so it was the very first class, if I'm not mistaken, of COVID, where we went down on 21st Street to like a hotel and had LB1. And I remember my dad made me stay in the hotel there to get like the full experience. Yeah. Like leave your phone at home.
Go dad
stay
dad in was hotel. On team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what, it was?
Was?
Slade was on team?
My dad. Oh, my dad was on team. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it was incredible. And I had a really good support team there at R&O because, you know, all will be known in due time. I was reminded a lot. And it's something that I think it was a lot of lessons that I'd probably had the opportunity to learn, but needed reinforced.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
So your dad, Slade, he had gone before, right?
Yeah, my dad, I don't know what year he would have gone.
It was a long time ago.
06, yeah. 07.
It was even pre then, I think.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Before he started sending the other guys.
Because, I mean, most everybody had gone through at R&O, like heavy. Before like 07.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I just remember I was little and my dad wore some weird pink backpack out the door one day. He was always flying to Vegas for work, but he left and came back and it was a noticeable difference in just how he carried himself.
That's exactly what your dad needed, right?
Yeah.
Because he's already kind of a big bundle of energy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I think, something that forever shaped his life and, he always spoke very highly about. So I don't know why it took me so long to get there. But Will made it happen and it was incredible.
Well, I mean, back then really it was, you know, R&O did a really big push on it and lots of guys went, you know, families. You were a little early on at that time.
Yeah.
And then immediately following that big push, we had the big recession.
Yep.
In construction. And after going through that, really, it was just this time of lots of people kind of stopped doing the training and really focused inward on their businesses and stuff. And some, you know, were kind of a little bit slow to kind of get going. And R&O's never stopped sending people. It just wasn't what it once was. And looking at it through the lens of your children, it's kind of like a in due time thing.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
And you've never been one that you had struggles with necessarily.
Yeah, for the most part, you know, I'd say I was pretty easy on
him. Pretty easy on him.
I gave him a run for his money. I mean, here and there.
And some of the, you know, others tested the waters a little more.
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't like something that, you know, everybody looks at and goes, it's something you need. He knew you didn't need it early on.
Yeah, no, and he did a good job. I remember he came home with his JFDI pin on, I think was what it was at the time, and he was always telling me, just focus and do it. Always giving me good messages of encouragement, and I think he did a really good job teaching me a lot of that. I just at the time didn't realize where it came from.
Oh, and brain in the back of your head, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even realize it's there, because that's how it was for me as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that were very familiar in that LB1 class, and it's because like, that's where it came from. Oh,
this is where that came from.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's a privilege to be raised in a rapport family. They hold you accountable, yeah. 100%. And you understand it a little bit easier when you get there. It's still hard, but you're like, this makes
sense. It's noticeable though. It almost feels a little bit more normal than most people that are getting the you know, initial shock.
Yeah. From it.
It's like, no, I actually live with this in my life.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of getting comfortable being uncomfortable. Right. And I did experience a lot of that in a different country, learning a different language on a mission. But yeah, it's just been this compounding effect from childhood, credit to my parents and a lot of loved ones around me, to being employed where I am and having a lot of support, getting out of my comfort zone on a mission and then rolling right into LB1 and,
all in due time thing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
No, when I think about your family though, one of the things that comes up is, yeah, they definitely have energy, right? But a level of humility and it's not something that you can take lightly, because there's so much confidence, yet the level of humility and even being humble, right? I think that's been part of the recipe for success.
Yeah. And that's really what LB1 taught me, was I think what that humility means. I remember getting hired on, Preston and I think we're starting together out at like America First on Washington.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice.
I remember that.
Doing some houses up in the valley, and we were just doing grunt work, and we came in and did our little orientation there at Arno. And then they gave us our hard hats, and out of habit, they had put my full name there on my hard hat. And I think my dad intentionally stayed out of all that, but when he walked by and saw my hard hat, it had my full name on there, and he went and grabbed a razor blade and cut my last name off.
Yeah.
And said, "You haven't earned that yet."
Ooh.
And I remember,
how'd that feel?
It kind of cut deep, right? It's like, why is my dad like, is he disowning me or what's going on here? And that had happened from a young age with my grandpa, right? Like, even at the farm, you're the first one there, you better be the last one out. And if they ever heard of you using that to your advantage, it was a rude awakening that I tried not to learn.
Thank you. Like there's some stature. I mean, the name carries a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And it's been earned.
Yeah. And that's what I did not realize going into LB1, is I almost grew to be ashamed of it. Like it was, I don't know, there's this stereotypical boss's kid that everybody knows in construction, right? And if you're in that role, you know what you're trying to avoid. And if you don't, it's probably,
you know what you're avoiding, you're working to avoid.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that,
unless you're Preston.
What I do,
you know,
I think there was this natural anxiety behind that I probably took a little too extreme, where I thought I could hide that, you know, I worked for my father and grandfather and I didn't want anybody to know. And I was ashamed to be the boss's kid. And so I worked extra hard to prove people wrong, which to a degree was good. But I think rapport taught me, I know rapport taught me, because somebody wrote it on my back at one point, was, you seem to be hiding who you are. And I initially didn't know what that meant, but it dawned on me. I was almost ashamed of my last name because I didn't want to be the air quotes boss's kid.
It's a heavy backpack to pack around.
It is. And I think it's something that looks nice until you're in that position.
Until you realize that how heavy it is.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And also extremely blessed and privileged in a lot of ways, right? Earlier we talked about the upbringing of being in a construction family, being in a rapport family. I would never, ever trade it, but
that's why I say it's like humble and I don't want to use the word kind and giving, very, very giving family, right? You guys are big givers, yet never want the acknowledgement. Like it's fine to give, but absolutely do not want to acknowledge it from it. And that's been something that I've witnessed over the years. It was like watching your dad build the new home.
Yeah.
That was so hard for him. You know, and I looked at it and I was like, wow, I mean, you've worked so hard for so long. You know, this is something that's supposed to be celebrated and exciting, and battling through that tug of war internally. Is it okay?
Yeah.
You know, is this really okay for me to do this? You know, and, you know, I remember talking to him one day, telling him how inspiring it was, you know, and motivating it was, and, you know, it's something to look up to, you know, because it's not like this beam, big, you know, bolsterous, you know, I've got big, deep pockets type of a home. No, it's a beautiful, well-built, well-thought-out home, but that's what it was. He was building a home.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's kind of the upbringing and the way you've been raised, right? To think through things like that. And even though every data point would say it's okay, internally, the moral compass is going, but is it, you know, is this really okay for me to do that? And that's really what you're talking about.
Yeah, no. And that was my childhood in a nutshell, I think, is from being raised, I'm going to say from a financial standpoint, I knew my dad worked in construction and that's all I knew until I was probably almost through junior high into high school. He was very humble and I'm going to say even almost too far in the direction of, you can't enjoy the fruits of your labor a little bit. But to me, growing up that way kept me in check, kept me humble. And it was right in the middle of the recession that you mentioned earlier, where it was a scary time for a lot of people. But
coming from the family you've been from, it was a time that was like, you know, they knew how to get through things. Like they were very well prepared for things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm very smart. Your dad's always been very, you know, forward thinking
strategic.
And thinking through the lens of, yes, we could do something like that. And realizing, recognizing he's putting all the families that are part of that company at risk if they get too far, you know, over their skis or too ahead of themselves. So always been very conscious, you know, of how that impacts everyone. It's never been about, you know, that last name.
Yeah.
It has been in, you know, some degree holding the line, but it's never been about them.
Yeah, no, I would agree 100%. And it's taught me a lot and helped me realize what the most important thing is.
So when you were sent, what did your wife think about going into rapport, the training? Was she familiar with it?
She really wasn't. I don't think she at the time was like, so you got to leave for a long weekend and you're going to a class and people speak highly of it. Right. It is that there is the lore of all will be known in due time. And I still tell her she needs to get there to really understand.
What she gets to.
Yes.
All in due time.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll cut her some slack right now with some really little kids, but it's coming up.
Yeah.
We're talking because we're going to get our wives together.
Send them down there together. All right. Here's a joint effort.
I agree. And I think if you asked her, there was a noticeable difference like I described in my dad with me getting home. For her, I think it would probably be me understanding family comes first. At the time where I was in that hyper focus of I have to prove myself, I need to be the first one to work, the last one to leave, on a really high pressure job, I think we were working 60 to 70 hour weeks. And I kind of put, where it was just me and my wife, I kind of put her on the shelf per se to say, I'm going to get through school. I'm going to get through this tough part of my career. You need to, this wasn't an explicit conversation, but you need to support me and understand that I'm going to sacrifice some things now and it'll work out later. And that's necessary to a point, but remembering you're still married, you're still in a partnership, date nights, you know, putting your wife's needs first, it needs to be a priority.
Coming home tired and still going, I've still got more left in the tank for you.
Yeah. And I had, we had just come off. Here's where I'm going to get emotional again.
Definitely got that from his dad.
Weeks before rapport, where I was finishing school and about to get a little more free time, we had decided to start trying to have kids. And she had gone through, at the time, it was either her first or her second miscarriage in a row. And I was still in this, you know, wanting to help, but I got to go to work, right? I want to be at your doctor's appointment, but I have this really important meeting. And I know rapport helped me understand what's more important there, right? Like me getting caught up in what other people might think of me because I leave the job to go to my wife's doctor's appointment for an hour where she might find out that she just lost another baby. Was something where I looked at myself and went, what in the world? That's not how I was raised. That's
it's not what anyone would tell you to do.
No, but you put these pressures on yourself and you forget, you know, what's important.
What would you say was your biggest takeaway from rapport?
I think I would put two things together. And one, you know, it's okay for me. Very specific to me. It's okay to be proud of my last name and my family and who they are. I don't need to hide that. I need to honor it and I need to be respectful of it and I need to be humble, but it's okay to come from
amazing family.
Yes, thank you. And two, as important as my career is and that business and everything that's to come, there's nothing more important than my family. And that's something I've had to remind myself of a lot, right? As obstacles come up or as things get hectic in life at work, especially now that I have two little kids, I find myself having to like literally look in the mirror and out loud remind myself what's important.
Taking a step back.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, we deal with pretty big problems on a daily basis, all of us. But at the end of the day, if I screw up my job as a dad and as a husband, those are things that have no monetary value. And I've learned through mistakes. There are things, you know, you can figure out financial issues and figure out concrete pours that you botched. It's much harder to fix what you screw up as a dad or as a husband or as a son or a brother than to fix your job and the things that we do at work. Not to say they're not important, but they're not the most important thing that we do by far.
Amen. For sure.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm just thinking about that crappy job there on the North Gate.
It was, I will say.
It was an amazing job. I shouldn't use the word as crappy. Like, no, it was an amazing job. But to cut your teeth out there on that job. Yeah, that was definitely a big, fast-paced, aggressive, full-scale, full-frontal assault job.
It was a cool experience in the sense that that's where I was really taught relationships in this line of business matter?
All of them. With relationships, anything's possible, and you watched it come to fruition out there.
Yeah, when you have the type of relationship where you can look a guy in the eye and shake his hand like we can do and go to work, the barriers that you break through are pretty incredible. Like building a project in half as long as it should take, which I don't want owners to hear that that's possible.
It does when everybody's aligned towards a common goal of making it happen.
Yeah, and that's kudos to everybody that came before my generation. You guys have been working at those relationships for decades. And it's taught me on the business front to value people and relationships like your family and like your close friends, right? It's not just business. It's not just money.
I mean, yeah, you walk into that job and you're standing on the backs of people that have built relationships or forged relationships for 20 plus years. And you're watching those relationships align. And it was like a hurricane going through something. It was incredible the amount of power and force that group had in accelerating something. You're right. Absolutely should have taken half as or twice as long.
Yeah.
And it was just like, nope, got a goal, plenty of carrots. Let's go. And it was incredible.
Yeah. And it was one of my favorite moments from that job was, there was a ABC or AGC lunch and learn that I got to attend with my dad and my grandpa. And they both asked to come stop by the site after. And so we got to kind of tour that project and to watch the generational progress, right? Like my grandpa told me stories about trying to get Northrop Grumman to let him put in a fence or come hang a door. to then fast forward and be able to be building these large buildings and campuses and working all over certain areas, was pretty incredible. It's something that it's easy to take for granted, right?
You got to see like a miraculous thing right out of the gate. It was like, is it supposed to be any other way? This is just how this is happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been eye-opening since then to come back to reality.
Again, back to having gratitude for those relationships and those people, because you've got to experience some other things since.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk about the following years after class, because, you've obviously lived a lot of life since then. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that have happened and changed and continued to mold.
Yeah. After those miscarriages that we kind of got through, went through two and then did a lot of doctor's appointments to try to figure it out. Ultimately, I came back and they were like, third time might be the charm. And we ended up having a beautiful little girl in 2021, still in the middle of that darn COVID. So that was an interesting experience. And she had to be, I think we had my son when she was 19 months old. So pretty close together. We were worried that it might take a little bit longer than it did, and it didn't. So two beautiful babies that are best buds, girl and a boy. And since then, it's just been chasing them around and getting to have fun and realize that as cool as some pretty high adrenaline hobbies can be, helicopter skiing is by far beaten by skiing on a bunny hill with your little girl. So just keeping up with those two.
Now you know where the humbleness comes from. The humility. They figured it out ahead of you.
Yeah.
It's just no way to tell you the secret sauce. It's something you kind of have to figure out yourself. They definitely laid the framework or the groundwork for you.
For sure. No one. That came from good parents.
Yeah.
For sure. I took it for granted, right? Because I had parents that were always there, always wanting to do something. I remember growing up skiing, thinking that, at 8 years old, we could keep up with our dads, Preston and I, and I'm sure they could have been more fun places on the mountain than chasing us around.
You thought you could keep up with them on the hill.
Yeah.
I really still think we did.
Maybe we did. Maybe
we were pretty damn good skiers.
Maybe it was five when they were skiing on the blue diamonds or the blue squares or whatever it was with us. But rewinding it back and realizing, you know, my dad really was my best friend.
Yeah.
Still is.
Yeah, you just didn't know it at the time.
No. And being able to just naturally do that with my kids, right? I'm not reinventing the wheel. It was already there for me.
So we just celebrated Father's Day.
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. How was Father's Day?
It was incredible. Woke up to some cute little notes from my kids that can't spell their name, but like to draw and color and
the pictures, man.
Yeah. And some breakfast and kicked it with the family and did a little swimming and couldn't ask for more.
Got to hang out with dad.
Yeah. Yeah. I went up to his house and enjoyed it. That investment that he was worried about has paid off.
Yeah.
Made a lot of memories.
Yeah. You start framing around that and all of a sudden it changes things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else? So what else have you been doing? Experiencing? Outside of being dad, being a great husband, I'm sure.
Try is a powerless word.
Yeah.
I strive.
Work hard towards it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's the critical thinking happening. But what else has been happening in life? Because, you know, working to have kids, that's stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing is stressful, which is probably why the second one came a little easier, because it probably wasn't near as much pressure.
Yeah.
After having your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, your family and things, they just keep kind of stacking, right? So how do you keep navigating all those things that keep stacking? Because the more you grow and develop in your career, the more is asked of you.
Yeah.
The more your family grows and develops, the more is asked of you.
Yeah, I would say, and I don't mean this in an arrogant way, but I've had the most phenomenal support system from family to work, that my biggest job is to try to like just show up.
Mm.
And at work, it seems like if I show up, those challenges and opportunities are going to also show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a phenomenal, work family that I can go to at any time. And so I've been able to take on some more challenging projects, and look to my mentors around me to help get through those and hope to spend a solid amount of time still getting my hands dirty in the air quotes filled with construction. I'm currently a project manager, and love being able to problem solve and be really in the details of a project on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then what comes after that, in its own due time will happen. And I don't stress about that too much right now, 'cause I got my plate full with what's going on. And I find myself more stressing about, you know, how am I going to raise these kids and how am I going to give them the opportunities that I was given?
Mm.
How do I make sure that, financially, time-wise, growing up in a neighborhood full of kids, everything that I had and more that these little kids get.
How are you navigating being a brother?
That's a weakness for me, I would say, honestly. I, being the oldest brother, I think I was kind of removed from growing up with younger siblings. Right. They all kind of were going through junior high and high school and those forming years when I was already gone. Out of the house.
Yeah.
Whether it was on the other side of the world or up the road with my own family. And I'm working on developing those relationships and finding those commonalities with my siblings. It's something that as they've grown up has come a lot more natural, right? As they start to date and get serious, and my little brother's now working in the family business, and that's given us a lot to relate on. He's probably right now going through a lot of the stuff that I did early on in my career as far as experience, and I'm going to call it hazing.
I mean, do you get to talk to him?
All the time.
Yeah. So who do you think they look up to?
I think it's pretty hard to not look up to my parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. I'd like to think that I've set a decent example for them. And I try to be that strive. You'll catch me saying that powerless word now and again.
It's only $10 every time you said it. So we're going to go to a nice dinner after we're done.
But yeah, I'd like to think that they look up to me cause I've given it hell.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I guarantee they look up to you without a doubt. Know it for a fact. That's just the natural order, you know? And the good news is they've got a quality brother to look up to, regardless if they acknowledge it now or later. It's a real thing. You're basically showing them the pathway and you're more relatable to mom and dad. Yeah. You know, the good news is mom and dad, after walking through the time with you, you know, they develop and hone their skills and get a little more tuned. You maybe would have noticed that maybe at moments you're like, man, they're taking it really easy on my, you know, the rest of the kids. They didn't take it that easy on me.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's just part of the progression, yeah. You know? But, you know, looking back, it's easy to kind of Monday morning quarterback all those things, which is why parents evolve and whatnot over time. But, you know, substantial, you know, almost always right now, I can guarantee you your parents are so proud of you, the man you are, the father you are. I'm sure they've told you. And now they're looking up to you.
No,
you're doing it in a different time, in a different place, with different people. You know, you look at when your dad was moving through that scenario you're moving through right now, completely different world, not even close to the same world, navigating that. And now you're navigating something that still to this day, I wouldn't say he's scared of things, but you know, he still has those, you know, worries, if you will, about what's to come. That's just naturally a little bit of what's one of his strengths. But, you know, looking forward, where are you headed?
Up. And I don't know. I find myself stressing. You can talk to anybody close to me and they can easily tell you that's what keeps me up at night. You know, where is my home going to be when I build my dream home for my kids? Where, at what point am I going to take that next step in my career? You know, financially, spiritually, mentally, I probably am looking to get places sooner than I need to.
You know you are.
I 100% do it, but I also realize that's what drives me. Mm-hmm. I had this conversation this morning with one of my great mentors, Rick Zampedri. And I pointed out, we were talking about our kids and how different they can naturally be and how we're different from our siblings and our friends. And I think it's easy to look at that as a weakness. It's that anxiety that we talked about earlier, but it's the driver for success.
Yeah. If you want a driver, Rick's definitely somebody to look up to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy doesn't have an off switch.
But ultimately,
on.
Yes. Yeah. No, he's been fantastic. Ultimately, I'm looking to carry forward the legacy that my family has created with R&O construction and whatever facet that may be. I've got extremely large shoes to fill and I just try to get better every day.
You don't try to.
I do get better every day.
Have you realized though, the circle that your dad has surrounded himself with, like the level, the horsepower in that circle? I mean, they meet every week, first thing in the week, right? That's the first thing they do every week is they meet and they circle the wagons. And because, you know, there's no way one person gets there. It's definitely a team effort and it's a family effort. That's definitely a family, you know? So you look at the size of family that's being molded and developed and cared for there. And it, you know, no small shoes for sure. And I believe, I know you'll fill those shoes. All in due time.
All in due time. And my grandpa's beat into my head ever since I was a little kid. If you want to be successful, hire people that are smarter than you.
Yep.
And that has for sure been something as I've networked and gone to school and looked into bringing other people into our work family at R&O. It's never been a fear like that they may be smarter or better at something than me. It's been that they will hopefully be smarter and better than me and complement that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've watched my grandpa and my dad do that and how much better it's made our company. And I look at the same thing with my kids on a parental level. And I hope my kids are smarter and better than me at every single thing they do.
What's your question, Mason?
What is my question? You asked what's next. That's my normal question.
Well, ask him a better one than that one. Ask him a better one. A more pointed one.
If you could tell your younger self, the one that's in fifth grade, that's struggling with anxiety, a piece of advice, what would that be?
Oh, that one got me. I think that it's going to work out. And seems like a silly time to look back and think that was probably the hardest point in my life, right? What does a fifth grade kid have to worry about? But I learned having kids. I remember holding my like 2-week-old daughter and wondering why she was screaming like she was being murdered because she was hungry after 45 minutes. And I read somewhere in some book, I can't quote it because I don't remember, but it was that a child, the first time they experience hunger, it's could be the most severe pain they've ever felt. And you have to have compassion for that. Because naturally, I would get frustrated. I have little patience. But I look back at that point and several other points in my life, whether it was fifth grade or high school or serving a mission on the other side of the world where I didn't know what anybody was saying and was sick. And it felt like the hardest point in my life that was never going to end. I'd go back at any point and let them know it's going to get better. It's going to work out and it's going to make you better. It's going to make you stronger. Cause there hasn't been a trial in my life where I'd want to take it back. Like I wouldn't ever take any of those things away from myself. And I don't mean that to sound like I had this extremely challenging, adverse childhood or upbringing. Because I didn't. But those challenges that I did have, I look at as blessings. And I really think they happen for a reason.
Wow. This has been such an impactful episode, genuinely. Thank you so much for showing up and being vulnerable and, you know, letting us relate to you in that way. It has been such an honor to have you on.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Very proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jaden.
Appreciate it.
That's all.
Integrity, passion, personal power, leadership, enthusiasm. This has been the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. To become part of the 3%, visit Building Utah Youth on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or on our website at buildingutahyouth.org.